I just want you to realize how special you are. Do you know what it is, right? It says all the days of your life, right, are written by God, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made, right? So anybody ever had a complex about themselves? Anybody ever had a complex about themselves? And, you know, I want to tell you, just turn to the person next to you and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Fearfully, wonderfully, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's what the Bible says. So you weren't a surprise to God. It might have been a surprise to yourself. Anyway, or you may surprise yourself. Goodness me, I surprise myself every Sunday night. I think, what am I doing here? Praise the Lord, but it's just so wonderful, you know, when we think how lucky we are. You think about the multitudes that are living on the earth today, right? How many multitudes are living on the earth today, right? Does anybody know the earth's population? Anybody? Anybody know when you are 6 billion, or we're just over 6 billion, we're around the 6 billion mark. Amazing, isn't it, you know? So there's 6 billion people on the earth, right? Now, think about all the people in history, right, who've lived, right? Who've lived. So we've had 6,000 years of man's history, right? If you go off the Jewish calendar, we're just coming up to the 6,000 years, right? There's a few missing years in there, but we're literally at 6,000 years. When you hear these supposedly learned people on the telly talking about, well, you're 63 million years old, and I just say, well, just pick a number, you know? It's not. Can it be? Cannot be. Why? Because if it was, the Bible would tell me. Precisely. Right? And it's not in the Bible, right? Mankind's had 6,000 years of history, right? It's not longer than that, right? So there's been 6,000 years of man's history, and so there's been a lot of people lived on the earth. And you know, you people are here for the filling, the winding up of things, right? And God sat in heaven, and he didn't pick your name out of a lucky dip, right? God had a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you, and it's a theocracy, as Arthur says. It's a single way. There's not 7 different ways. There's one way, and that's it. Amen. One way, and that's it. You know, God didn't write 7 different exit strategies and 25 of this and 25. He didn't do that. There's one way, and that's a theocracy. And God's got a plan and a purpose for that. And that, you know, and you get the blessings. And it's like if God purposely puts you, plants you, that you're there because you're meant to get fed there. Is anybody getting fed here? Do you get fed here? Yeah, man, do you not? Listen, Norma, was your one woman revival, huh? Didn't you? You know, praise the Lord, Gates, it's not going to be safe. You know, it's going to be like a nuclear explosion going off with this mob, you know? But praise the Lord, that's what it needs. You know, but, you know, and it's like, you know, just be encouraged by this, you know. And the enemy doesn't like this, so he'll try throwing all kinds of things into the mix. So be warned that Satan knows what is about to happen. So he's like desperate. I was at Trevor's the other day, Trevor, where you were sharing about the dream or vision that you had the other night, weren't you? What did you see? Huh? You see God, didn't you? Yeah. And what did he show you? The battle? Demons. All over the place. And that, you know? So they're stirred up. So they're trying to, how can we, you know? So know that demons are after you. I'm telling you, right? They're trying to, you know, they're at you. You know, if you're not under attack, then something can matter. You know? So don't rejoice. Don't panic about it. Just rejoice in it. No matter what is going on, no matter what you're being hit with, and that, you know, it's just, the enemy is trying to get you off course. Trying to, you know, and that, you know. Whoa, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like preaching now. Anyway, so, Father, we just want to thank you. I'm reading from the book of Timothy tonight. That I felt the Lord laid on my heart. 2 Timothy, is it? Where was it? Thank you, Jesus. Father, may I decrease, may you increase. Right. Charge you there. Okay, right, beloved. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but all who have loved his appearing. Praise be to God. You know this, what's happening in Jerusalem at the moment are the birth pains to the rapture. What's happening? The armies are surrounding Jerusalem. The Arab Spring. All of these things talked about. We can talk about Ezekiel 38. Tonight isn't about teaching. It's not teaching. And you know, I've done that. You know, we went that last week to, where were we last weekend? Barren Furnace at the Manuel Centre, teaching on the end times. And you know, the stuff we're teaching is stuff that God has given me, and it's spot on. And the thing is that we are right near the time when God could take we. And you're seeing the emergence of you know, chaos in the political structure, chaos in the midst of the financial structure. But that chaos is engineered chaos. It's engineered chaos. It's not just chaos for the sake of it. It has been directly engineered as they prepare the setting to bring the man of sin out of the closet, out of his prayer closet, or on his magic carpet or whatever. Praise the Lord. So the thing is that we are right at that time now when you've been chosen for days such as these. And I want to tell you that, you know, the time is running out for you to, you know, maybe it's 5 years ago, it's 10 years ago, you knew that, well, it's a little, we know when you're, but it's a little way off. That's changed, beloved. And you cannot be glib about thinking, oh, well, God will save this one, God will save that one, God will save, because you won't. He will do. He'll partner with you, but we have our part of doing this. You've got a bit of mouth there. And what we've got to get over, a lot of people have got to get over, is this fear of man. This fear of, like, I cannot say nothing because they won't believe us, to think I'm mad, or I'll lose me friend. Beloved, I would rather lose a friendship and see your soul saved than somebody standing on judgment day saying, he did not tell me. What would you can imagine? Your family's all going to be stood there if you haven't preached the gospel to them. And it doesn't matter what they think. You can stand before God with a clear conscience and a pure heart and say, I've done exactly right. I know I can stand before God. I can stand before God and say, Lord, I did the best I could. I told every single person. I've acted with love, decency, integrity. With every single person, I've just shared the gospel, the love of God. And thank God there's thousands and thousands of people can say, yeah, David gave me the gospel, and that's why I'm going to heaven. Because I didn't be quiet about it. Over a billion people have heard my story around the world. And the thing is I'm seeing this to encourage you, because God brought you here. God brought you here. I didn't bring you here. You just bring me in a lucky dip. Or, you know, I thought, you know, this is, I can't see what he's doing up there. You didn't win it. God sent you here. And he didn't just send you here to polish those comfortable seats up. And it's good that we're going out as a team. It's good that we're going out. Because this is, you know, like at the end of the day, right? Now, I'm going to, thank you God, just keep, yeah. You know, Arthur, you've worked in many churches throughout your 60, 50, 40, 40, whatever years in the Spirit, haven't you? Now, you know, right? Apart from when Herbert Harrison first kicked off at Bev Shannon and that, and Melvin and them, and every church you got into, to get people to evangelize and people out, it's like you need a crowbar. It's like put explosives under the, you know. You've got to have 25 meetings of the church council, of the committee. You've got to get a blessing off the Pope, a blessing off, you know what I mean, and it's underwritten by the, you know, the, you know. It doesn't, you know, it's like craziness, isn't it? You know, Jesus said, in the end days there'll be a people of what power? An army of the Lord who will do exploits, who carry the fire of God. How, you know, listen, I remember, you know, the Wesleys, Charles and John Wesley. Do you know, in that their day, because of all that was going on, it was their preaching across Britain. You know, it would have, the Britain would have been like a horrendously dark, dark place if it hadn't been for the Wesleys. Going out, eh? They would have had a revolution exactly the same as France. And it was the prayers and the works of the Wesleys that stopped this. The prayers of the saints stand in the gap. You know, if Jesus was here now, right? If Jesus appeared now and said, come on, we're going to go out and do some, you know. That's what he wants. It's like, you know, we're not going to some place. I didn't just because Mal there, bless him. Hello, Mal. Bless you, bro. It's not because I like Mal that I'm going to Carlisle. It's because God said, go there. It needs fire. I was in the Carlisle Christian Fellowship that night, and the Lord just said, and I got a burden. Me and Paul were up there, weren't we? And I just knew God was saying that. And then we had a really powerful time with God, not Saturday, he'd gone the one before. When Terry was up, and there's me, Terry, and Scott sitting praying, and Kath. And I tell you, the God came and gave us a lot of words at this particular time. But he gave us one for Carlisle as well, you know. And he said, I want you to go there. And those pictures that God promised us, we are there at that time now, where you will see revival. He's not going to pour new wine into old wineskins. Do you understand the principle? You're not wineskin. You know what it is? You kind of put new wine in. Why? Because it expands and breaks and go, you know. So he can't put, and what he won't do is put new wine into an old wineskin. Do you know the old wineskin represents the religious body? It's a religious body. All that stuff, it's all nonsense. It's not God. It came out of a system. Oh Lord Jesus, I don't want to be getting onto this again. But that system is not the system of heaven. That Christianity is not is proper Christianity. We are individuals who God's given a mandate, God's given a plan how he wants his church run. And what the ordinance and what the scriptures are, what the authority is, how the church is built on the ministry of the apostle and the prophet, not the Pope, or not you know. So the thing is that God is doing a new thing in our day. When I came here, God said it was, I don't want to set up Crisco and manifest, you know, doing the working off our normal Crisco style strategy. What we would do, like we're doing a lot of countries around the world. He said, I'm going to do something brand new with you. Something led by the Spirit of God. So the people, when you've come here, you've been directed here by the Holy Spirit. Not by me or anything else. God's directed you here for a purpose. For a purpose. And we need to be seeking God and what that purpose is. Because everybody does have a part to play. You've got a part to play. You've been created for a particular purpose. Made in the image of God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. And sometimes we get clutter in my mind. And sometimes we get clutter through our flesh, clutter through our own plans, our own schemes, what we want to do, and that, you know. But beloved, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. And if you want to be truly successful, God knows how successful he can make you. God knows. There's nobody can bless you like God can. There's nobody who can give you wisdom like God can. There's nobody who can bless your family, your children, protect you in the midst of the darkness when it comes. And, you know, prior to us being lifted up in the air. No, I don't believe we're not going to be here for the wrath of God. So, you know, this system, the 666 system, I think it's going to happen when we go. I don't believe we'll be here for it. If we are, we're not to take it. God will provide and do the most extraordinary miracles. God will do the most extraordinary miracles. And that, you know, you think, oh Lord. You know, listen, the Bible says if you take the mark of the beast, the wrath of God will be poured on you. And you'll never see heaven. You'll never see heaven. Because the wrath of God will be poured on you. If you take the mark of the beast, you take that thing. I don't believe you're going to be here for it, beloved. I believe God will take you out before that. So the thing is that, but it could be near the time when these things are starting to take place. You know, I was watching a thing with the Rothschilds, Lord Rothschild, you know, Evelyn Rothschilds, the richest man in the world. And we're talking about having a single currency for the world. You know, they've been talking about it for a long time. We know that's been on about it, but I was watching him talking about this, the richest man in the world, Evelyn Rothschild. And he was talking about this system that has been set in place. And you know, so everything is happening that the Bible talked about. So you need to be on your mettle, beloved. You need to be on your mettle. It's like not a day for, you know, like I said before, 5, 10, 15 years ago, you had time to mess around and do what you wanted to do. But remember when Jesus, there was a time for that, for Peter, the apostle. But what does Jesus say at the end of John? The day is coming when you're going to go where you don't want to go, where you'd be led. And in Peter's case, obviously, he was led to Rome. He was crucified upside down. We're not going to say he's going to be crucified or martyred or beheaded or any of that. But what I'm going to say is that sometimes we've got to get out of our comfort zone and we've got to look for these opportunities that God puts across our path. You know, it's like, you know, some of these, you know, we've studied for years and, you know, encouraged you, you know, like, you know, to follow life led by the Holy Spirit. Continually. That, because eventually, it's like when you learn the flashcards, when you're a kid, you're not, you're 5x5, 10x10, whatever, etc. The more you get exposed to these things, the more that it gets into your system. And we're not looking for carnal answers to our problems. We're looking for spiritual answers to our problems. And that's why God's brought you here, because he's guided my life from the day I came into the kingdom of God. And in that, you know, and he's shown us how to live a life led by the Holy Spirit, which is why we have so much fruit, why we have produced so much fruit over the years, because I followed God. I followed the dotted dots. I didn't try to do it on my own. I didn't try to work it out myself. I just was obedient to him, to follow him wherever he sent us. And I went to places I didn't want to go, and at times it's been uncomfortable. And at times you think, I want out of this, I'm walking away from this, I'm not having this, Lord. I don't deserve to be treated like this. I'm not, 101 other things. Your flesh is screaming at you. You know, you know what I mean, Jim? And you think, why am I bothering? Why am I bothering? You know, and I'm not saying this to you, but I'm saying, but over the years, you know, some people have ministered to, I've been crying, Lord, please take us home. Because I don't, you know, some of it's been such hard work, and you're like, you know, you want to give the best because you've seen it. And if there's a better way, then I want to know what it is. Do you know what I mean? So it's like trying to impart that to people. And it does me good when I hear Norma coming back and giving us our stories. Or I hear somebody, you know, Ken or any of you coming back and saying, well, I did this, or so Walker telling us I rebuked this, I rebuked that, and I went. Praise the Lord. That's putting faith in action. It's putting faith in action, which means it's happening. Now, God wants to take you on to a higher level of things. The world is looking. He's watching you. And all those believers in your families who, well, you know, I'm just, you know, they're watching you. And, you know, it's not for me, it's, you know. But they're watching you. And the thing is that as things start to change, as you move deeper into what God's got for you, then it's like they start to hunger after it. You know, the more Christ gets manifest in you, the more attractive it is. So you want to die to self and give it over to Jesus. You want to die to yourself because, beloved, if your plans are carnal, they will fail. I want to tell you that. They will fail. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. So God has got a particular path he wants you to walk down. And there may be steps. But what I want to say to you is no matter what those steps are, he will hold you. He will guide you through them if you honour him in it. And that's what it is, so you can produce fruit. Maybe there's somebody really important going to get saved through your testimony. And you might think, well, I'm just insignificant, David. It doesn't matter. Philip was insignificant. Peter was insignificant. He was just a fisherman. You can't do the boatyard doing it live and that. It's filled with people like Peter. There's no, but I want to say to you, you are not insignificant. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God planned purpose for you. And I just want to look. If we can look back into this 2 Timothy, into chapter 3. Okay, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous times. There's perilous times about to come on the earth. There's perilous things happening on the earth. Look at what happened at the storm a couple of weeks ago in America. Look at the floods that New Orleans had. Look at the tsunamis. I said, not just one tsunami, but loads. Look at the Japanese tsunami. Look at the Indonesian tsunami. Look at the Sri Lankan tsunami. Look at all of these things that are happening around you. Thank you, Lord. For perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Anybody know any churches anywhere that are going through a form of worship but denying the power of God? Is the Holy Spirit in there? Is the gospel being preached there? Are miracles happening there? Are demons being cast out there? Come on. This is the apostate church. Apostate church. Jesus said at the end of the day, there will be a church that is a church without power. 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 Without power. Where God is not moving freely and liberty is not being preached. Thank you, God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are the gullible ones who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, there's people who go, like in the Christian world, you know, as you get in a bit, I remember a few years ago I read a little book called The Harvest, where it was a compilation of prophecies and things. And there was one prophecy that where this Christian was a bit like a mini version of Pilgrim's Progress. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, you know, about the what do they call him? Pilgrim, right? Pilgrim. It makes sense, Pilgrim's Progress, then. So then Pilgrim, you know, and it was like this guy is seeking the city of God, and he traverses the desert, and, you know, he travels, and he sees this city up ahead, and what it's got, a big sign up saying Christian City. And he this weary traveller comes hobbling over the desert, you know, like, and he gets to this city, and he gets in there, and somebody greets him and went, "Oh, hello there, you know. Well, how are you, brother? How are you?" Give him a slap on the back and, "Come on, brother, we're going to prayer meeting now. Whoa, brother, we're going to the Bible stuff. We're going to this, we're going to that, we're going to the other." And everything looked right, but it wasn't right. Everything looked right, but it wasn't right. And he said, "Have I found a city of God?" And he said, "No, you found Christian City. This is the place where there was a form of godliness, but there was no power there. Do you know? I don't want to live in a place like that. I've never lived in a place like that. I said to God, when I came out, this has got to be the real deal for me, Lord. I said to him, I told him, I said, I'm not, you know. And boy, have I seen some stuff of him. But I don't want to settle in Christian City. Because there's no power there. There's depression there. And so anyway, he ends up leaving there. And he eventually finds the city of God. But it's a narrow path that leads there. It's a narrow path. You know, God really loves this part of the world, you know. He loves this area. From this area, you know, and you look back, before Rome came in, you had the early saints, you had Aidan and Cuthbert, and all up and down the coast, and these guys who were moving in mighty miracles of power, and, you know, this was the birth, really, the birthplace. I know people say, oh, well, Iona, and that, you had, you know, Augustine up in. But really, this was an apostolic ministry. It was here in Northumbria at the time. Holy Island, the monks were powerful men of God. People were having revelations. Cuthbert's body, when he died, they carried it around in a coffin, and it didn't decay for 800 years. And people were coming up the coffin, touching the coffin, and getting healed. And such was the glory on that. But you see, glory comes by, the glory of God comes by revelation. It comes by holiness to the Lord. Holiness is like completely keep submerging yourself in God so that you empty yourself of your own self and then let him fill you. And Cuthbert and men like that, Aidan, who really sought the Lord, that emptied themselves out and God could fill them and fill them and fill them and fill them. And you know, when you're being led by that, there is times when Jesus so takes over you that it's not like being yourself, because he has taken over you. Like, you know, when the story when Stephen got stoned, when they were stoning him, he couldn't feel those stones hitting him because he was so much in the glory cloud of God's presence that he just said, behold, I see the Son of Man, and shoomph, you know, and then he was gone. And the martyr's anointing, you see. But you see, God isn't going to ask you to do anything he doesn't equip you for. You might start off doing something and it's not really progressing, or it's not really happening. It means the anointing of God isn't on it. Because if God's asked you to do something, there will be anointing on it. And that's empowerment to do the tasks that he's asked you to do. And when you move outside of the anointing, all chaos breaks loose. And we see it so many times that people get out of the anointing, get out of the things they're meant to be doing, and chaos starts breaking out in their lives. And that, you know, so it's staying in the remit, of what God gives you to do. Because you're not, some people want to do this, want to do that, want to do that, and you get into it, and it's chaos. Why? Because they wanted to do it, God didn't ask them to do it, and there was no empowerment for it. So, it's like singers, right? I'm not particularly, I'm an awful singer, to be honest. But the thing is that God's anointed us. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, I hear some really polished singers who are not anointed. You know what I mean? I mean, there's great singers out there, but it's not anointed. It's not empowered, is it? You know, so it's like the anointing makes the way for you. And so whatever God appoints you to do, there's anointing, there's an empowerment in you, on you, to do what he needs you to do. So we are not a church right now. So what's happening in the last few weeks in this church, right? What's happening? People have been healed. There's people who have been written off by doctors and medical science and at the end of the day, God's in my midst. Is that not something to be excited about? Where God's working. Are you not excited?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, share me to heaven, please. Come on. You know, like, God is working in your midst. What's he doing? He's doing miracles left, right, and center. You know, it's like, what have we shared here? Right, right, okay, right. All of history, right? Okay, I'm going to, I'm going to boast in you, Jesus, right? You're my Lord, you're my witness, you're my God, right? Jesus has appeared to me more times than he appeared to Solomon. Is Solomon not a major person in the Bible? Right? He sent me here to be with yous and to encourage yous, and he's appearing in my midst. Who was the last person who got a visitation of the Lord? Anybody here ever had a visitation of Jesus? Yeah, you had one the other night, Trevor. You had one, didn't you, Sam? How long ago? About 3 months ago, 4 months ago, Jesus appeared. You saw him. You saw him the other night, Trev. Amen. So God is working in our midst. Now, Arthur, I love it when Arthur says, well, we can go to some churches and get the almanac suit. And there was a healing done in 1947. We've got it framed. It's just still alive somewhere. It's just alive there. It's just still there. You know, and it's like we take this for granted, and we shouldn't, you know. You know, he's here and he's awesome and he loves me and he wants the best for me and he takes me through all kinds of troubles, trials and but what he's doing is saying, just trust me, believe me. You know, and it's like when we've saw those things, there's Alan giving his testimony about driving along on his motorbike with an empty petrol tank. This is madness, man. You know, and they would say, you know, if you went to your boss at work and, you know, he'd say, yeah, get him doing the block. Get a straitjacket for him. And that will get you transferred. I went to Rampton or somewhere. You know what I mean? It would be like, you know, wouldn't it? You know. And we're bogging mad. But, you know, people say, oh, you're going to hear that TV again. What's he saying now? You know, like, what's been appearing now? You know, and it's like, you know, because I don't care if they take away the money and everything else and all that. Why? Because my God shall supply all my needs, all your needs. When that money appeared in my hand out of nothing, I thank God. Because why? It was like when Elijah saw the little cloud, and said, there's rain. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And then came the rain. Remember, there'd be no rain for 3 years? Now, that is a sign to me that if God can put £1.50 in my hand for a car park out of nothing, the same God could put £1 billion in my hand. The same God could put my favourite Chinese food in my hand. Right? Or anything else that I needed. So the thing is that you need not worry about your circumstances and how dark it gets. Just know that you're like a branch. You're not a tree. There's a tree with branches on it. God planted this tree and he grafted you into this tree. You are part of, be a part of this tree, and you are a branch in the tree, and out of your life and out of your ministries, right, God is going to do something special. Right? There is fruit going to come out of your lives. He didn't just randomly pick you. And that's why I want to encourage you with it. And as anybody, like I say, if you've had the trials and the tribulations and everything else happening to you, it's because God loves you and his hand's on you. And don't rejoice in, you know, don't, you know, oh, Lord, I'm going through it. No, rejoice in your sufferings and your trials, because they're producing fruit in your life. They produce character in your life. They produce trust in your life, that no matter what you go through, Jesus is there. And he's called you to be a winner and to succeed. We're not part of a, you know, oh, you can, you know, head off down to the local mausoleum and polish the suit for the next 30 years and sit and, hallelujah. Or you can come to Carlisle and break a city open. Well, we have that cutting edge. We have that cutting edge to break open situations. I'm going to finish with this because I just want to encourage you with it. Go to your Bibles. Turn to Jeremiah 51. Thank you, Lord. And this is what God said to us when I was sitting with him last Saturday, was it? Powerful. Now, I want you to read this out yourself sometime. Jeremiah 51 and verse 20. You are my battle axe and weapon of war. For with you I will break the nations in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. Now I want to tell you something about this, right? The chariot and its rider. That's not the bloke and his Ford Escort. Or Ben Hur, right? This is talking about powers and principalities. The right chariots. And we've been to places and we have seen them fall. Literally, fall. And God is saying, you are my battle axe, my weapon of war. For with you I will break the nation in pieces, which means the principality has to fall. That demon that was controlling has to fall. For the nation to be brought, you saw it in Daniel chapter 10, when he destroyed the Persian Mede Empire, when the prince of Persia fell. And the demon prince of Persia fell, read it in Daniel chapter 10. What happened? The demon went, because Michael came and took a hold of it. And that whole empire fell. Then what happened next? Alexander the Great came. Prince of Greece. But then that came to an end as well. But the thing is that God is talking here to break nations. Remember, the devil still legally controls the world. But creation is voluntarily coming back to Jesus, which cancels out. It's cancelling it out. His time's coming to an end. With you I will destroy kingdoms. There's a lot of kingdoms in this world that you don't know anything about, I'm telling you. Kingdoms on the seas, demonic kingdoms, all kinds of stuff that's hidden currently at the moment. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces young man and maiden. With you I will also break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and the yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. That's what God is saying to you. That's what he said to us last week. You know, it's like God is with we. God is with we. God is with we. So there's times, and over the next year or so, there'll be lots of different places that God is sending we to break open. To break open. And you're going to see revival on the streets of this nation. Those things that God showed me, this end time harvest, is right now. We're here at it now. The gathering is taking place, and then when the gathering is finished, we're going to heaven. The gathering is finished. If you weren't here a couple of weeks, in the last few weeks, my friend Tony Ratcliffe from Bournemouth was taken to heaven 2 months ago in a chariot of fire. And they took him up to heaven, and he was wandering around in heaven. Amen. He was wandering around in heaven, and he was outside the throne room in heaven, and there was a doorway next to the throne room, and he went through the doorway, and all he could see far as the eye could see was tables and angels, because he heard the sound of crockery. He said, I was sitting in the corridor outside the throne room, and all I could hear was crockery, crockery, crockery. And he went through those doors and he saw the angels going to the tables, setting the tables. And an angel saw Tony and came up to Tony. And Tony said, what are you doing? And he said, we are preparing for the Lamb's Supper. Amen. This is 2 months ago. They're preparing for the Lamb's Supper. And you're invited to that. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not getting taught from the pulpits, unfortunately. But that's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. And I just want to give you the best I can. And so that on judgment day, you cannot stand in front and say, Davey never told me. I'm not going to preach a watered down message. I preach the gospel. And there's only salvation through Christ, through his blood And there's one way, not 27 different ways. You know, there's one way, one path. You know, one, it's a theocracy, is all I keep saying. It's true. It's a theocracy. And yes, we'll have liberty and freedom, but it is a theocracy. And God bless you. Father, I thank you, Father God, that, Lord, that we would be the sons and daughters of God you've called us to be. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are people of power, a people of integrity, a people of love. Father, we're on a journey together. You got Catherine there. We're on a journey together. A journey that's going to take with the heaven. A journey that is going to lift us up, Lord. On the day when the angel sounds and the trumpet sounds, we will be caught up in the air to meet with you. And that, Lord Jesus, help us to be about our business. And that, Lord God, help us, all those things that cloud our minds, all those things that are sent to distract us, deceive us, and everything else, that can be cleared from our mind right now. That, Lord, we may know the hope of the calling. Help us to be available, flexible, teachable for you, Lord. For you are my battle axe and my weapon of war. The people here, Lord, I maybe don't mean to be rude, but, you know, battle axe, and that, you know, I'm not called this, you know, that's, you know, see, it's a popular saying here in the Northeast, you know, battle axe, and, you know, but really, truly, we are a battle axe. Amen. Does anybody receive that?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.